Hey, hello. You guys hearing this on IRC? Cool. All right. So it's working. Anyone else, just ask A-Dodge for help. He is now the official tech support. Okay. Pound Free Hackers Union. It's all super secret. I try to make sure that it'd be difficult for geeks to find it. All right, so it's going to be really weird because there's actually no sound coming out. You just talk into this and assume that the gods of the internet actually make it work. And after it's all done, then I'm gonna post it as a AUG file, and we'll have the video. It should be running. But double check, am I in frame? All right, cool. Hold on, let's get this over here. Get these down here. Okay. Cool, all right, so we're kind of going a little crazy with the tech here. So I'm just going to explain it real quick so you guys can figure out what's going on. All right, and it's also a ton of yak shaving and a Rube Gold machine making it all work, so. Ben here has helped me get it all working, helped me curate. He doesn't have anything to show, so he showed up to just help. We're going to be recording the video there. So if you want the audience to think you're pretty, look at the camera. If you want them to ignore you, look over here. And over here I have a mixer board I'm using. It's a Yamaha mixer board. Coming out of it is a USB cable that goes into my laptop. Out of the laptop is an EVDO connection. And then I'm using IceCast and an Ice Relay program. It's reading the sound card and sending it straight over the internet. So this is live. It's all working and everything. And the people on IRC are currently listening to it. If you're on IRC, go ahead and say hi. All right, so hopefully this doesn't totally melt down. This is, like, really tempting the gods of demo effect. We've already kind of pissed them off by not bringing the right cable. And someone asked for a wireless router, potentially. Yeah. Okay, yeah. They got one? Cool. Okay, yeah, I couldn't actually bring one, so. But I did have a backup plan, so. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so the first New York Free Hackers meeting. How do you guys like it? Good? Yeah? All right, let's get some introductions going around so that way people get used to coming up here. So each person, let's just come on up, introduce yourself real quick.
Hey, my name is Matthew Camisher, and I'm going to show a demo today of doing some DJing stuff from the iPhone.
Where should they stand? More like here? Ah, okay, you got to come over and stand on my right. Okay, next, gentleman back here.
Hi, my name's Eric. I heard about this approximately 18 hours ago, so I don't have anything prepared, but I feel perfectly comfortable coming up and ranting about ideas I do have. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And we all like ranting. Thanks. All right, next. Are you Jordan or Chris? Chris is coming up. Yeah, so keep it on this side of your body. There you go.
Hi, I'm Chris Masto, and what I like to do is Perl, JavaScript, Mac stuff. And tonight we have actually two options. There's a thing Jordan and I worked on relating to a boat, and there's an iPhone thing that I did, and you can decide when the time comes.
Great. And next up, Jordan.
Hey, I'm Jordan Coleman. I'm a freelance inventor, hacker, designer of things. And I think Chris mentioned we're going to give everybody a choice if they want to hear about a boat project that we did recently that's interesting, or if not, I brought some GPS hacking stuff that I've done recently and a interesting power supply that I built for it that might be interesting to the electronics geeks. So enjoy.
Power supplies. Okay, next up.
I'm Patty. I program JavaScript, Lisp when I can, Python, Java. About a year ago, I was playing with key codes on OS X and trying to alter them, and I found some anomalies. And it could be something that's designed, but that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. So
that works. When you have the mic, probably about right here, right in front of your chin. Next. Yeah, you look eager.
You look eager. Sure.
I'm Jeremy Ashkenaz. I'm a new arrival in New York, and I'm glad to be here. I'm going to show off some Ruby processing tricks.
When did you get here? 2 months ago? Three? Cool. All right. Next.
Hey there. My name's Foy. I'm actually from out of town, and I just came to visit. Don't have anything to present, but I'm curating in Boston, so I just wanted to see how this goes.
Oh, you're Foy?
Yeah.
Hey.
Foy. Nice to meet you. Next person. Thank you.
I'm Brian Woods. I worked in marketing for the last year, and I got tired of people telling me...
Fail. Go.
No. Got tired of people telling me things were impossible or too expensive, so I'm just getting into software. But on the other side of things, I'm a noise musician, and I'm here to show off some new samples I got going.
Cool. Nice. Will you be able to plug in? And
Yeah?
Okay. Cool. All right. That works. I got plenty of cables. That works. And do you want to say anything, Ben? Or yeah, cool. All right.
Hey, I'm Ben. I program in Python, and I'm currently teaching myself C because it's something to do. I'm helping curate tonight, so yeah, I'll help. If any of you guys need anything, let me know.
Okay. As you can see, the people on IRC don't know this yet, but we're basically passing around a giant piece of paper and a bunch of crayons, and everyone's drawing their name on it. So this will be your proof that you actually showed up to a free hackers meeting, and you got curated, and now you can actually say you are part. And yeah, and I'll post a picture of it up online, and you'll be able to see each one that we do. Okay, so how I think we're going to do this, right, is we have this already connected up to here. If you have a Mac, basically you can present with the projector. If you don't, oh, look, all of you have Macs. Great. Okay, cool, yeah. And Jordan says that you can do that. Okay. No, you're not allowed to do PowerPoint or just a web app. So that's the rule. Remember, no PowerPoint and just a web app. So you can't just show PowerPoint, you can't just show a web app, but you can show PowerPoint, web app, and code. You can show PowerPoint, web app, and something disassembled, something like that, right? Reason why is because those are lame, and every time someone does a PowerPoint plus a web app or just PowerPoint, it's just a product sell. So that's what we're shooting for. All right, so how I think we're going to do it, and actually we can just talk about it right now. We're just going to go down the line, and I'm going to pick the person who looks most panic-stricken, and they're going to come up, and they're going to do their 5 minutes, rough, give or take, because my watch is actually this really annoying Nuka watch that's not super accurate. And then afterwards, I don't think we'll do questions, but we'll be able to mingle and everything when it's all done, and you guys can do it. If you guys want to do questions, we'll do some questions, maybe one or two. But during the presentation, that person's show, just kind of like take it in, relax, don't bug them too much, and then when you're done, then you can say you did your first newbie show. So that'll be very cool. So let's see. Why don't you go, Matt? There you go. And you're going to present an iPhone app, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Are you set up on this thing? No? Okay. So Matt is setting up. There's one presentation for the people online that we can stream out over the internet, but we aren't going to show on the video. So just so you know, it's something that's not necessarily proprietary, but they did as a client application, so they want their client to be happy. But otherwise, it sounds like a pretty cool app, pretty cool use of Perl, right? Yeah, the application you did was Perl,
oh, yeah.
and a boat, right? Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm that boring? Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Insanely low. So, we're going to have to optimize this somehow. All right. So, just to make this actually pretty efficient, do we have a timekeeper, someone with a better watch than mine? A less annoying watch? Okay, cool. Yeah. Just going to do a 5 minutes. You think you can do 5 minutes? I know it's an iPhone app. It's an iPhone app, so you just go like bam, bam, bam. I know there's like so much to show. Yeah, you want to just grab the paper and just draw on it? Yeah, sure, go for it. Yeah, get crayons, do what you need. Yeah, just rip it, just take it. There you go. So one of the themes I'm trying to shoot for is, you know, less rules, just adapt as you go. So thus we have a bed sheet tied up as our screen. As you can see, this is all do-it-yourself, although I did buy most of this crap because I have way too much crap. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Yeah, just come up and draw. Yeah, draw what you draw. All right. I'll hold the mic for you.
All right, cool.
Okay, ready?
Go.
Hey, my name is Matt, and my handle on the IRC is Matt_K. And today I'm just showing a very early prototype that I hacked together in the last week of controlling a desktop DJ application from your iPhone. So that way, like, you could go into the audience and, like, while you're DJing and, like, show them and do stuff, right? So let me just, since we have some geeks, so I'll go into, like, some of the technical things that I'm doing in here. So I wrote a couple things for this. I took an open source piece of DJ software called Nix, and that's a Qt C++ application. And it has, like, built-in scripting with Lua and Qt script. So all I did was I hacked in a little socket server into it, and the socket server does two things. It broadcasts on multicast, so that way clients can find it, and it has an open TCP port. So that way you can connect in from remote applications and dump in commands. But instead of just doing commands, you can also dump in actually script code. So that way you could easily extend everything. You don't have to, like, write all your commands in the C++. So what I'm going to show is a very early prototype, and I wrote an iPhone app in Objective-C that connects in to the Mix app, and we'll get to see it control the DJing. So, yeah.
Right, so we got to, yeah. That's what he drew. So it's pretty much what he just said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
DJ app right here, and I have it running on my iPhone here too. Let me turn on the sound so you can hear. So everybody in the audience can see. I don't know if you can see that, but I'll show it from the simulator too, so it's easier on the video. But, like, right from my iPhone, I can go in here and stop and start tracks. So really, the main thing I have on here now is just to get all the communication going. Is to stop and start the two different tracks in the application. And right now I'm doing it from my iPhone directly. But just to make it easier for everybody to see up here, I just have a little app, and all it has is the IP and the two tracks, and it can just stop and start. And the iPhone and this app are connecting to the same one, so you can have any number of clients connecting to the socket server. And what they're dumping, and they're actually dumping script code. It's really nasty right now because it's hard-coded into the Objective-C because I've been hacking this out really quick. But let me pull up the code here. So in the code, there's one of the messages you can send on the socket is this script. You can't read it because the text is awful. But there's a script tag, and anything after that, you can actually send in the script code. And the code is literally just tell it to play and which track number, or to stop it and which track number. So hopefully in the upcoming weeks I'll have, like, some cool stuff, like using the accelerometer to, like, do fades and all kind of cool stuff like that. But that's pretty much it there.
All right. Oh, he's got a little bit more?
Yeah, so somebody in the audience just wanted me to zoom in. And on the video you'll be able to see, like, I hard-coded what the message strings were. And there you can see that it's passing in the actual script code for the different commands. So hopefully I'll move this into a configuration file, but it's just kind of all hacky right now.
Cool. Maybe later we can hook it into the board and you can actually try playing with it a little bit. All right. Cool. All right. All right, everybody, that's Matt. Get some applause. Yeah. Cool. Okay, next up, Foy. Are you actually going to do anything, or you're just going to show? Nah, that's cool. Okay, and what's your name? Jeremy. Why don't you come up, Jeremy? Yeah, all right. So Jeremy's going to be next. Are you going to use the projector? Yeah, all right. That might work. Go for it. As it comes out good? That was good, expanding that out. I never even thought of that, you know. Yeah, cool. All right, so next up we got Jeremy. He's going to show
processing stuff.
Cool. All right. So Ruby processing. Yeah. So Ruby processing is that going through JRuby?
It is.
Yeah. So it's JRuby to the Java processing libs, right? Cool. Yeah. I actually did a bit of JRuby to Prefuse. Yeah. It's a funny story. I had a bunch of thought workers, and they were claiming that they always pair, but I knew they didn't. So I took their commit logs, and I did a social network graph to show who was pairing with who, and anyone who wasn't pairing with someone else was pairing with Satan. And then I used Prefuse to make the graph. Put it up on the big board that we had these giant HDTVs, and I wrote on the other HDTV, if you pair alone, you pair with Satan. I actually hate pair programming, but it was good to rub it in their face. All right. I will play interviewer one more time.
So here we go. How many people here have used processing for projects before? Have there been many? Not many? Well, processing is a Java library developed by some smart dudes at MIT who are working on making software easier for kids to use. And they basically hooked up a nice drawing API into Java, into actually kind of a simplified Java syntax. And you use sort of the standard imperative commands. You draw circles and ellipses, and you can do stuff in 3D, and you can use OpenGL in it. But one of the things that was always hard about it is they were using, for a long time, they were using sort of like a retarded old dialect of like Java 1.3 or something like that. And they recently bumped it up a little bit higher. But it hasn't been the most easy language to learn at the beginning. So Ruby processing sticks together the processing library with JRuby, so you can sort of script all of your Java sketches. And they don't even call them apps or anything. They're like these little sketches. Most of them are fairly, not even object-oriented, but like one big sort of draw command. But you can script them together with Ruby, and I'd like to show you some of that. So, let's see. I think the first one up is going to be a port to Ruby of a Jared Tarbell sketch. Are you all familiar with Jared Tarbell? He does a lot of really great work with both processing and Flash, and most of it's posted online at levitation.net and complexification.net. This is one called Binary Ring. So, Ruby processing provides you with a script open command that you can use to launch these things, and Binary Ring is just a little bunch of, I guess they call them kaons, that sort of particles that rocket around leave trails and switches back and forth between black and white. It looks a lot nicer on the laptop screen. I don't think all can see that. But so that's the first one up. This is sort of taking the Java code line by line and translating it into Ruby and not doing anything too fancy. But next, I'll show you something a little bit more ambitious. This was a project that me and a friend worked on for class that uses both Ruby libraries and processing libraries. So from inside of Ruby processing, you have both load Ruby library commands and load Java library commands. And so this uses a port of a Nodebox library, actually. So it was written in Python originally. But I ported it over to Ruby for the flocking algorithm. And then there's also JRuby gives you access to like Minim for sound. So it's right now it's listening to the speaker in on this laptop right here. And it's doing processing on that to figure out both the pitch and the amplitude and the beat detection on the sound. So if I... The color is sensitive to the pitch of the music that comes in, or the sound that comes in. And then, of course, the size is corresponding to the volume. And then you have these sparkles come off, or at least they try to come off when it detects beats, although the beat detection isn't too hot in that library right now. This is an example of something you can do that throws together, you know, the Minim Java library, this Ruby flocking library, OpenGL, which is also a library for processing, and the whole thing is not too big. You guys might have seen a I don't know how to pronounce his name, but like a Giles Bowkit blog post about how he adapted this to his own DJing purposes. So then next up, so both of these things are things that you could do relatively easily in processing itself, you know, just with the Java, and Ruby isn't giving you that much here except for a nicer way to write it. But in this case, we go a little bit further. This is an application that uses context-free grammars. It expands context-free grammars to draw trees, which is a pretty standard thing to draw with context-free grammars. But you can get some pretty nice ones, and of course, they're random, so a lot of them are kind of retarded looking. But so the interesting thing about this is that normally with processing you have to do this sort of, you know, imperative code style, and you're looping through arrays and drawing branches and stuff. But there's a really nice application for the Mac called Context Free, which uses this sort of declarative syntax that lets you specify your the different context-free rules that you can apply at any given point. So that's also something you might have heard of because Aza Raskin ported it to processing.js pretty soon after processing.js was released, so they have it on the web now too. And let's move over here to code. So the code that drew that tree, we'll make it bigger here. I got it. It's cool. I don't know if you guys can all read that, but the code that drew that tree looks like this. You've got a context-free block that takes in these different rules. So what was drawing those branches that were splitting and curving are these seed rules. And each rule is associated with a certain, either a default probability or a less likely probability in these cases. And then, so for each seed here, the most basic one is just you draw a square, and then with very, very small chances, you draw leaves and flowers, and then you recurse down and do a seed again. And seed here is not a direct method call. It's going to call a method that determines which actual seed rule to dispatch. So this is a case of using, and so here's the leaf and the flower rules, and that's really all there is to that tree. It's just a couple simple rules with brightness and rotation and saturation and setting colors. This is an example of how you know, getting it in Ruby can help you move beyond what processing gives you with a thin sort of context-free library wrapped around it. And that's the majority of what I wanted to show y'all. Oops. It's available online at GitHub. If you look for Ruby processing, you can download it. It's got a couple, I guess I'll just start up another one while I'm talking about the last little bit. It's got a couple neat little tools that it comes with. You can do script/application to export applications for the Mac, for Linux, and for Windows, sort of all in one package. And you can do script/applet to generate yourself an applet. It gives you a little gallery page with the applet embedded on it. It also has live coding support, so you can do script/live and then the name of your application. It'll open up the application and then pop you into a JIRB session, so you can alter your methods on the fly, and you can imagine replacing a draw loop with something else as you're live coding. And there's also support for sliders, so that, because one of the things that you end up doing with these sort of processing sketches a lot is just altering constants. You have a constant for the curviness of the tree or for the colors or whatever, and you just keep restarting it and refreshing it. So you can attach those instance variables of the sketch to graphical sliders and play with them as you go. And there's also a script/watch command that'll reload the sketch every time that you save it, so that you can have a really tight feedback loop working on your project. And that's it. I hope that was short enough. And I'm looking for a little bit of help with it if anyone knows the guts of JRuby or even is just solid with Java, because I'm not that solid with Java. Trying to update this so I can put out a 1.0 release with both the latest JRuby and the latest processing. There's a couple of things that break pretty seriously using both of those. So I'd appreciate help with that. And thanks a lot.
Very cool. I have started the trend of playing a bit of classical in between setups so people can be entertained. And I won't get sued by the RIAA because it's old as hell. Yes, exactly, exactly. Oh, well, hey, you wouldn't be surprised, man. All right, so I forgot your name. Eric, why don't you come on up? All right. Yeah, why don't you just blab for a little while? All right, go for it. Eric's going to blab for a little while. Give me a second.
Hey, everyone. I had an idea a while ago for a coffee table book about kind of like, have you ever been cruising one of the social networking or video sites? And you see some really precious comments about a video, something really like vulgar, profane, but kind of thought-provoking at the same time. So I started hacking on this project with Beautiful Soup, the HTML parsing library for Python. They also have Rubyful Soup, I think it's the Ruby port. So I also wanted to utilize Mechanize to kind of crawl YouTube endlessly. And mine comments and put them in a small SQLite database. Please walk by. I'm not saying anything that interesting. What's up there? I don't even know. Something that just mines endlessly, and maybe you can turn it on or off using XML RPC calls, similar to how HellaNZB works, if you've ever used that Python app. And basically, that's my idea. I want to jam lots of comments into a SQLite database and then create a small app, either web-based or standalone, to rank these comments. And I think probably the most interesting or novel
would probably be voted to the top of the list, and then using either FrameMaker or some other actual like book layout program, I'd like to publish a coffee table book of comments. And, yeah, that's one of my ideas. I have maybe 5 more minutes to kill, so I'll ramble about another one. A lot of the time, I'm taking photographs outside with my SLR, and it's kind of difficult to take low-light shots by actually hitting the shutter, because, you know, you're actually moving the camera at the time that you're opening the lens. So my idea was to actually hack a wireless remote to be activated by sound. The sound of, like, either blowing. So you would have a sensor very close to where the... you can walk by here. It's all right. Maybe not. Oh, none of these comments make any sense to people on IRC because they can't see the people walking by. Doesn't matter. So, anyway. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, see, there's nothing being projected. It's just me talking. So, yeah, that was another idea I had. But I don't know a lot about really electronics because I haven't taken that stuff for a while. I have basic knowledge of soldering, so if there are any real hardware hackers out there, maybe I might tap you on the shoulder and harass you for several minutes after this. And yeah, there's another idea I had, but I'll kind of stop there. How am I doing on time, Zed? Oh, okay. Yeah, those are my two most blabbable ideas.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, so when you're up here, yes, Eric, have some ideas. Really quick, how many people could hear him pretty good? Like, you all kind of heard him? Yeah. Yeah, so when you talk, you see how I'm, like, basically yelling at everybody? It's not because I like to yell at everybody, right? You can actually talk a little louder, but then that pisses off the people on the internet. So what you want to do, don't talk into it like this because that kind of muffles your voice. Kind of keep it down here, just a little bit out, and then just talk out over here, and the mic will pick up your voice anyway, okay? The other one is to breathe a lot. So a lot of people get up here, this starts talking like that. You know, so it's a little hard to breathe. So if you get up here, look at random people as you talk, right? And project, and then people can actually hear you. So go ahead. You can go by. And that's just some good advice for giving a better presentation. I'm actually going to take voice lessons because when I do that, I do it wrong. It screws up my throat like crazy. So every conference I go to, I'll do my speech, I'll talk to like hundreds of people, and then 2 days after that, I can't talk. So it's like just kills me. So I'm going to actually learn how to control my voice a little better. So, okay, so, yeah. All right, so Jordan. Yeah, all right, that works. Yeah, that's probably a lot better. Put right there. And also prevents people from walking by. You want a chair? Okay, cool. All right, let's get some classical going while you're setting up. All right, so you ready? All right, so...
I'm Jordan Coleman. Chris Masto and I worked on a project recently for a client of one of my clients. So this is kind of a commercial enterprise, but the hacks we're going to show you are real hacks. So if people are interested in that and we're not going to get gonged off for it, we'll run through. We think you'll be interested. If not, we brought backup hacks. So quick opinion from the audience. Super yacht. Backup hacks. Okay, all right.
So do you want him to turn off the camera for the super yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Or we just leave it, I'll just edit it out.
Your choice.
I'll edit it out. It's
okay, appreciate it.
Thank you.
If anybody's interested in Postgres or embedded database, I'm going to show you at the end of this. Come over at the end.
All right, we had some new people show up, right? Who just walked in midway? Ah, you and did you walk in midway? Yeah, okay. Half an hour ago? Okay, cool. We did like... Huh? Say again? Oh, that's fine. That's fine. So what we did is we had people come up and do introductions. So just come on up and say what you're here to do and what your name is. IRC handle too. There's people on IRC listening.
Okay. I don't have one. But my name is Lee. I'm not really here to do anything. I'm just saying hi, and I just wanted to check things out. My interests are in a lot of that embedded networking stuff, which is kind of cool, as well as, like, real-time audio processing and stuff. So.
Cool. Thank you. And in the back there, want to come up, just introduce yourself real quick? Yep, just tell me if you're going to present, IRC handle, anything you got?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you do.
We relaxed
it a bit for the first show, so
yeah.
Some people.
My name is Seth Rasmussen. I just moved here last weekend from San Francisco. I'm loincloth on IRC. I was going to present. I came here because somebody on the shoes list said they were going to present Ruby processing. Did you do that already?
Damn it.
I was a little late because I got going late and I got a little lost. I'm excited about the group because I'm trying to stimulate my mind with new, weirder things, you know, and just get out of the shell I was in for, like, the last year and a half. And I've got some not-so-weird things to present, but I'll give it a shot. So,
we have a bunch of crayons and a piece of paper, so if you guys just sign your name on it and be creative. And next person.
Hey, I'm Dan. I'm from the ISIS lab at Polytechnic University, where I study information security. I came down here, and I'm going to talk about the F-Secure reversing challenge and how to beat it. It's a disassembly challenge. You have to go through it, figure out a hidden password. It's pretty fun. It took me like an hour, but hopefully it'll be good for like 5 minutes of talking. And I don't really hang out on IRC, so you won't find me there. Sorry.
Smart man. IRC is so much fun. You get to talk to guys with their change executing businesses. Okay, who's next? You want to go next?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Go on up. Yeah, so it works best if you sit here and talk that way. So go ahead and get set up first, and then, yeah, then we'll do it. More classical for everyone? Nah, we'll wait. He's going to be done pretty soon. All right. So you have to figure out how to juggle the mic and your laptop.
Okay, so I'm Patty, and when I used to use Vim, I wanted to remap my caps lock key to my escape key, but it's very difficult to do in OS X. So I was looking at some of the C routines where you can go into event taps, and there are some odd things that I noticed. There are two different types of events you can monitor. One for modifier keys, which are, let's see, you can watch for modifier keys, and then you can watch for actual key codes. So let me come down here. No, that's not good. One second. So this will just tell me when I press a key and which key I pressed. If you run it as sudo. Right now I didn't run it as sudo, so it's not telling me anything. Those are modifier keys. Okay, So it's telling me when I press modifier keys. If I come over here and say, let's look at this password. Show password. It stops firing events, which is expected. That makes sense. Ah. Sorry. Now, if I come back here and I run a different one where I monitor the modifier keys, ls.insert key, press on modifier. I'm pressing shift now, and it's inserting a plus. Now, watch when I come over to the password box here. Show password. Can you guys see the... I'm pressing shift in here, and it's... Can you see it back in the Emacs where it's... Yes. So you can't tell what key is being pressed, but something there doesn't line up because the other, when you're just monitoring key codes, you have to actually have sudo writes, and it doesn't fire any events when you're in the password box. When you're just monitoring modifier keys, it fires events while you're in the password box, and you can actually edit them. So you could still insert characters there, or at least know when they press shift. I'm not a C programmer. I'm not sure of all that I've done. This could be design, but it didn't make sense to me. I ran it straight. And the one that I had to run with sudo, you can also run that if you turn on assisted devices. A lot of this, the code I got from osxbook.com. So this previous one. It shows key codes now without sudo. That's documented. That's explained. So I'm not sure what I have here. If you could go and switch key maps dynamically, you could by process. Well, you don't have to know when another application is in the password box. It's not a password box that this application threw up. That was a password box in an external app. So I need to write a blog post about this and. Put up the code. It's
when you insert key presses into the string, do they get typed into the password box?
Yes.
Do they replace the key or they go in addition to the key that was pressed?
They, if it's a shift, they'll go in addition to what's pressed because
it's
right. Yes.
Cool.
All
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, thank you. So you could probably do like an extra password checker. You have this thing that runs if they're not holding down shift in a weird way that doesn't actually let them in.
It's harder to guess characters with your password.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't know how to actually type passwords with your thing running, then they're never going to get in your machine. Right. Yeah. They blog about it. I'm sure someone will probably tell you why it's like that or if it's a bug or something. Yeah, cool. All right. Next up, who has yet to go? Okay. Come on up. And what was your name again? Yep, we got one right here. And what was your name again? Cool. All right. Next fellow's getting set up, so more classical. You guys like Vivaldi? Flute Concerto in G minor. Thank you. Thank you very much. And just so you know, I'm going to try and do like one a week. So if this works out and you guys have comments, like even if you add, yeah, just like, and I may travel, like if you do yours up in Boston, I'll probably come up there and do that, you know? Yeah, and come up there and just kick back. Maybe I'll do my newbie show up in Boston. Yeah, so basically I just want to keep trying to do this because it's cool. I mean, you have so many people doing different stuff that you're not going to find anyone who comes here to just learn about how to make their job better. They're going to come here and show stuff and experience it, you know? And if you absolutely hated it, also tell me. So that way we can try and make it better, and I can just kick your ass out, and then you don't have to show up anymore, you know? But, yeah, it's, you know, let me know if it was fun, if you liked it, what you want to do a bit different. Definitely want to get the space sorted out and the equipment organized a little better, so I'm looking at a few other places. One of the places I'm looking at, I should probably hold up. Ah, that's up. One of the places I'm looking at is this really cool art space down on Rivington called ABC No Rio. They basically bought the building about, I think, a year ago. So they got the whole building by kind of with some weird donation for a dollar, and then they needed about $400,000 of renovations, and they've renovated the whole thing. It's a really cool space. It's pretty much just open all the time. You can actually go check it out, and I'll shoot it to the mailing list. But what they have is kind of like an artist activist thing going on. You can do print work there, so they have like a print shop. You can use computers if you don't have computers. They have jazz shows on Sunday. Very cool, just weird free jazz kind of thing going on. It's curated by a fellow who really knows a lot of people in the jazz scene. You can go there and see some great jazz musicians. And so I've been talking with them. I'm going to get a hold of them in about a week and talk with them about maybe we can do it there at the same place they do the jazz show, because they've got the same kind of idea going on. So, and that'll be really cool. Oh, is it not? You don't have the adapter, huh?
Yeah, but I actually have this written up on a
webpage. Oh, okay. Well, he can pull it up on a webpage.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he just do that. Yeah, all right. So, and also, thanks for coming. I mean, this is really cool. I figured there'd be about maybe five people. So what do we have? We have like about 10? Cool. That's a good turnout. I just wanted 10 people to show up and bitch with me. So awesome. I'm going to turn it on the mic for a little bit while we set things up.
All right. So for the people on IRC, if they want to follow along, I am going to the ISIS blogs webpage, which is isisblogs.poly.edu, and going to the topic F-Secure Challenge Level 1. So the F-Secure Challenge is a reversing challenge, ISIS blogs. It's a reversing challenge that goes on every year. That happens, ooh, that's bad. That's not big enough, but that's okay. It's a reversing challenge that goes on every year at, it starts at Black Hat. The dates coincide with Black Hat. The goal is they give you binaries that you have to reverse. They're Windows binaries, and there's a hidden password stored inside each of them. And this year's binary, there's three of them. I solved the first one, and I got kind of caught up in too much other work to solve the rest, was pretty simple. What you're looking at here, which you can't see, but I will explain, is a compiler-optimized Stringlen. What it does is, if you guys are looking on your own computers, this might work better because you could actually read it there. It chops off one character of the input, each character at a time, and keeps track in a counter of how many characters it chomped off. And if it reaches 4, it continues. And then once you've passed that check, it begins this giant obfuscation scheme where it takes a global memory address, a global array of bytes, and XORs them against your input. And what this ends up being is it takes your four characters of input and XORs them twice against the global address sequentially. And you wouldn't be able to tell that from looking at the assembly, but if you take very careful notes and work through this, you'll be able to figure that out. So all these XORs, though, they leak what the actual password is that you're looking for. So if you do the XORs in reverse, you can get an idea of what the password's going to be. So let's see. I don't even know what these are. This doesn't even help me present because I can't see it myself. It's okay. All right, here.
I can draw it for you if you want.
Well, that doesn't help so much. Okay. It's all right. Got to buy one of these S-Video adapters. Oh, and that's not going to work either. Oh, wait, but I have these. Right. So at the end of this, there are four checks for the some random bytes in that eight character string, and the four checks leak what the actual password is. So if you do these XORs in reverse, this is the third compares PNG, it will tell you what the password is that you're supposed to input, and then once you've put those in, you will get the password, which turns out to be EZ2008, and you append that on to an email, EZ2008@challenge.com, and then while the contest was going, you'd email that address, and they'd give you level 2, which is a way more complex version of the same sort of binary. These are things that I kind of do for fun. So what I thought I could present in about 5 minutes' time. Oh, there you go. You got it up there. Yeah, so you can see the congratulations string at the bottom, and there's an encoded message, the ASCII-07 that's above it. That is the incorrectly decoded message. I think that's when I ran it and I put through all A's just to trace the input. And the program I used to do this was Immunity Debugger. It's a debugger disassembler that's made for exploit generation, but it's also handy when you're just doing static sort of analysis of your applications. So I actually have to run. I have to teach a course tomorrow, so I have to go prepare my slides for a penetration testing course. But before we were talking about sort of these keystrokes and things that go on in the background on Mac OS X, you will probably be able to find all your answers to questions like that in a book called The Mac Hacker's Handbook that's coming out in December. It's written by a friend of mine. It's going to be probably the Bible for anybody looking at OS X internals for the next, you know, major operating system release. So keep an eye out for that. All right, I'm out of here.
Thank you. Awesome. And did you actually complete the whole challenge, or how far did you get?
I only got to level 1. A couple others. I won, kind of embarrassed to say this, I won Hope CTF, and I beat the Fortify web hacking challenge at Black Hat 2.
Did you go to DEF CON?
I didn't make it to DEF CON this year.
Oh, yeah, I went.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I almost got in a bar fight at a bar called Dive Bar. It was pretty bad. Yeah, all the time. It was awful. I knew I was in trouble when there was a dude passed out in his own shit and piss out in front of the bar. And everyone was just leaving alone because he was a good tipper. All right, thank you for coming. Yeah, it was great. Cool. Yeah, you want to rant about something? Okay. Yeah, all right, so who wants to go next? Let's see. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, come on up. Oh, so this is going
to
be sound stuff. All right, yeah, this will take a little bit. Come on up.
All right, all you people making websites out there, no offense to our most recent presenter. Yeah, Chris agrees. I do all the talking for you tonight. I know you know what I'm going to say. Okay. No offense to our previous presenter or anybody who has used this before, but for the love of God, people, stop using Lightbox. This is the worst piece of usability design ever put forth on the web. It's worse than Flash, and I'm not exaggerating. The fact that this thing opens and completely prevents me from hitting the back button to go back to the page behind it. No, I have to hunt with my mouse to find this button here. Or worse, if I want to flip through pictures quickly, I go up here and find this arrow and I click on that. I then watch this animation, and now if I want to go to the next one, I have to find the arrow which has moved. I can't just leave my mouse there and click. I can't even find the arrow. I guess that's the last one. There wouldn't be any indication of it. Oh, good. We can go back. Good. Let's go back a few. One, move mouse. Oh, there it is. Two, move mouse. There may be, but there are keyboard. This has keyboard shortcuts built in. Yeah, what's wrong with? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind a little link that says open all the images in Lightbox, maybe even a cookie, do something cool with JavaScript, set of variables that I can decide, but by default, the idea that absentmindedly I click on this picture and then I hit the back button like I'm about to do, and I've lost everything. That drives me crazy. All right, rant over. Thank you, everybody.
All yours, Mr. Z.
Sweet. I totally missed that. so we have amplification now, just in case. What was your name again? Brian. Okay, so Brian's going to do some noisemaker stuff, and we're actually going to feed it into the IRC. You guys probably heard him playing with it a little bit, and we're also going to actually show it off. And I think I'm actually just going to buy an amp, because when people talk into the mic, they don't talk as if they're talking out, so I'm going to get a little amp. You can get this new Roland little portable cube. It's tiny, really powerful for like 160, so I'll pick it up. Yeah. Well, I kind of want a little portable amp anyways. I need to start busking for change now that Bear Stearns collapsed, so... All right, go for it.
Thanks.
All right, so I'm going to try to do this with no software or anything, and it's right now I'm going to be writing software for this project, but this is more a matter of my hatred of every loop library that exists. So first of all, is anybody here a musician? And one, two, cool. Does anybody here work like exclusively with like electronic samples and that kind of stuff, or just acoustic stuff? All right, well, I'm talking to myself. Basically, it's complete bullshit, the kind of stuff that literally gets people pay thousands and thousands of dollars for these loop libraries. And I should point these away or something. It's just feeding back a little bit. There's all these loop libraries cost thousands of dollars, and, you know, at best, they sound half like the real instrument that they're trying to imitate, but you could already play a piano and everything. So it doesn't make any sense to me, because... why would you want to sample a piano that sounds half like a piano but really sounds like an 80s keyboard playing a piano, and this goes on and on and on, then spend 2 hours trying to tweak every little thing and adding your EQs and so forth until eventually you have something that sounds usable? So first I want to play something that I made entirely out of the stock loops that I found in Reason and in GarageBand and all the things that a lot of people have on their computers. Well, hopefully the people on IRC know I'm making fun of this music, because, my point right now is that the fact that these things even exist is ridiculous. That's just good enough. I'll pause it. But we need something as electronic musicians, and I don't think the answer is finding, you know, more samples that sound like acoustic instruments. We need to just appreciate that we're making electronic music, and we need to make things that sound good. So I kind of come from this crazy community where, you know, people play black metal and dark ambient and power electronics and noise. And if you guys could hear those samples, you know, I'm here trying to hail Satan and, I don't know, sacrifice a goat or something. And the best thing I can work with is these little radio sounds and these chintzy little keyboards and everything. So basically what I'm coming up with a friend who's a classical music recorder, pretty much. It's something we're calling the pre-fucked loop library. Basically, out of the box, everything's going to be pre-fucked. You know, you don't have to waste your hours of time working on your samples. You just plug it in and you go. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. You know, but just like, you know, all the frameworks I work in with software and everything, I'm just trying to eliminate that bullshit time where I'm sitting at my computer over and over and over again, filtering and filtering and filtering, and then the computer's telling me I can't filter anymore because I put on too many filters, and there's no way anybody would want that to be going on, so it's crying for mercy. So instead, I want my samples pre-fucked out of the box, and I'm going to try to play this, but this is what I'm working on now, and hopefully... So... import this into Reason or whatever, loop the shit, get laid, and just be done with it. And that's it. Thank you.
Oops, I turned the speaker down a bit. All right, there you go. All right, thank you. That was fun. All right, now I got to make sure that the sound goes back to where it should be. Ooh, and that is, like, really freaking loud. Pull that off. All right, who's next? To blow my speakers. All right, there we go. Okay. How many people haven't gone yet? I think you're the last. Yeah, I guess you're the last one. So you go. Go ahead. Yeah, and then... That's everyone, right? Okay, so set up, and we'll cleanse the palate with a bit more classical. You can go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Hang out back here?
Yeah, sure. We're going to be done in probably about 20 minutes. So, yeah, just hang out. Just try to be quiet, please. Thank you. Okay, so... yeah, so basically we're going to try to get the second to last person up. And then after that's Chris. He's going to show off some iPhone stuff he's doing. Let's turn down the mic and up the classical.
Thank you. So let's have a conversation with IRC. My friend, IRC. Oh, how I love thee. So, IRC people, how many of you heard of my Utu project? Yeah, just ignore me. That sounds really great. Shut up for a second, Next Three. Oh, by the way, everyone should know that Next Three, that's Nathan, right? Nathan was one of the guys playing harmonica with me on one of the harmonica and ukulele combos we did. And that was streaming all last night. So everyone say hi to Next Three. He's a musician. Yeah, I actually presented it at DEF CON a while back. Oh, we're out of video batteries? Damn. No, I forgot. Oh, well. I guess we won't have the last two on. That's cool. That's good. I think that'll be enough. Say again? No, I'll pack it up. Yeah, we'll just, like, throw it in there eventually. Yeah, I played that, man. It was great. Yeah. Bluetooth, no, I forgot that one plug. I brought about 50 billion cables and didn't bring the one cable for the video device. But that's okay. We'll have audio for the second and last person, and then we'll have a video for most of the rest of it, and we'll plan better. I wonder how many people we got listening right now. Let me go see the specs. Let's see if Icecast scales. Ooh, 11 peak, 10 current listeners. Nice. This is kind of cool. I mean, I like the idea of basically streaming out the different locals. So I'm going to see if I can get this set up, and then people can actually stream out their locals the same way. And I might do a bit of software that makes this a little easier. If anyone wants to help with that, I know there's folks working on the unlocal. I think this could be part of it. And I think video streaming might work, but video streaming might be a bit of a pain in the ass. All right, so next up is Chris with Piston.
Hi, Chris Masto. Let's see, I was going to just say a little bit about when Jordan showed the Fathom Yacht project, but I forgot what I was going to say about it. Basically, the UI is written in JavaScript. It makes AJAX calls back to the server, and as Jordan said, it's all controlled with Perl. Some of the neat stuff he didn't get to show you was that the all the stuff like the signal strength and which network is live and all the little icons and things have a lot of nifty graphical changes that occur when the network's actually changing. You can see like the Ethernet status and things like that. So, and also Jordan's part of it, he wrote a lot of really cool software to control the different boxes, like the satellite receiver and the 3G modem, and so maybe in a future show he can talk about that, because to me that's the most interesting part. I decided, though, rather than just rehash that, in the spirit of hacking, I just show a really quick little toy thing that I wrote in an afternoon one day. Jordan and I live out on Long Island. We haven't encountered much of a hacker community out there. If there is anybody else out there, I'd love to, you know, start something like this or be able to get people together. But because we don't really know any other cool hacker people out there, we often find ourselves going out to dinner, and especially when we're working on the Fathom project. And one of the issues that comes up is paying for dinner. Rather than split the bill all the time, we decided we would just alternate whose turn it is to pay. And then, of course, we realized we forget whose turn it was last time. So what I did was I threw together a quick little iPhone app. Why is it not opening? We'll just do this again. I made it's not an iPhone app so much as an iPhone web app, and it is not appearing because it is off the side of the screen. I see. Let me hide the dock. If I can, drag this thing back. There we go. Okay. So I created a quick little iPhone web app using Dash Code, and I thought that might be vaguely interesting to people, which is called Who Paid Last? And the idea of this application, which now is not loading, great. The idea of this application is it just keeps track of which one of us paid last time. And did we lose internet here or what? Maybe I tested all of this before we started, but let's see. All right. That's okay. It's probably only a 3-minute demo, so I'll just waste a minute resetting my internet here. Okay, well, show code, right? So, primarily, there's not much to look at here anyway. Basically, whichever one of us paid last lights up, and then there's a little history button here that gives you like the last few times and which one of us paid. The way it works is it's just if you haven't done any iPhone web apps or widgets, they're HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, and basically, very simple code. It just makes an AJAX call to a little Perl CGI script that I wrote. And it gets the, let's see where the function is here. It just gets which one of us paid last, and then it calls this little routine, which simply highlights the appropriate one in this section here, sets some text. Again, very simple. When you click on one of them, it again makes a call back to the server to report which one of us paid, and that's about it. And there's a obviously history function as well, and the CGI script, again, very simple, just opens an SQLite database and makes some simple calls to request what the most recent payment was, returns it in JSON format, and if you are changing it, it makes the appropriate call to insert that information. And unfortunately, no demo, but again, it's fairly obvious what it would look like were it working. I'll just run it one more time in case the internet came back. Nope. Okay. No demo gods today, but that's what I have to say. Yes, but it would be this big.
Did you get the 3G one?
I have one bar.
Oh, nice. It's a good upgrade. Nah. All right, great. Thanks, Chris. Thank you. How long did that take, Chris? Oh, really?
I can't do graphics to save my life, so dicking around in Photoshop is actually what took me most of the time, I think. But, yeah, probably about an hour to just hack it together.
Nice, thank you. All right, so we got our last one ready to go. You need some setup time?
All right.
Oh, yeah? Okay, all right. Yeah, so is it just that this one's a little older, or is it just a different model? Is that why? Okay.
The MacBooks have a special compact port.
Okay.
And that port apparently doesn't have the pins that you need, that even with the adapter doesn't power Chris's.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah, I had this idea the other day. Why don't they take, how you have your overhead projector? Make something that uses the e-ink stuff, that e-ink they have in, like, the Amazon Kindle, and then that's just, you just put it on an overhead projector, which is, like, $100. Yeah. Say again? Yeah? Oh, That'd be sweet. Yeah. Just like put it on an overhead and let it present out. I imagine you probably have to worry about the heat, but other than that, Mm-hmm. All right, so you want me to hold the mic for you?
Let's see.
Okay, cool.
Let's
All right, so this is the last show for the night. How's everyone on IRC? All right, so we're going to start and go.
Okay, my name's Seth again, and I was really interested in all the sort of references to hacking as art in particular with this group. I come from more of an artistic background and like sort of interactive multimedia background, and then I started to get into server-side stuff with Cold Fusion and eventually moved to Ruby and learned Rails. And I've been doing that for about the past year and a half. And then, like I said, it felt like I was kind of getting into a shell, though. I was just consumed with thoughts about Rails and, like, how to do proper web apps and, like, all this kind of, you know, very narrow thinking. So then I started using Twitter, and I was looking for a desktop client, and I found one that was written in Air, and it has at least one annoying bug where, because I have HTML extensions set to open up in my text editor, all the links try to open in TextMate, which is apparently an Air platform bug. So I thought I would write my own, and that's how I got into shoes. So I've been writing an app called Aglet that's a Twitter client for the desktop in shoes. And it's nothing, you know, particularly weird. It's another fucking Twitter desktop client. But shoes is fun. If you haven't tried it, I recommend looking at it. And then I just thought I'd show some of the funner little hacks from my application. Some of the more interesting ones, I guess, are just some of the helpers. Shoes has just a basic input line, like single line text box. It doesn't have a password field. But using the edit line, I implemented a password field just by using the change block and detecting changes in the text and replacing every change with an asterisk, but then keeping track of the stored value. And I just defined, you know, some methods right on the instance that's yielded to the change block. Pretty simple, but it works great. And then, auto-linking was something that I wanted in shoes. It's not really supported, like, just auto-link this random segment of text. So I have a totally unprofessional parser using a simple regular expression and string scan. And then I just have a case statement where I analyze the tokens. And it works really well to split things up that way. I just split it up based on is a space and is not a space, spans of that kind of thing, which works perfectly for detecting links and at references to usernames. And then all the text elements in shoes can take an arbitrary list of nodes, basically, little text blocks. So it works really well for that, and I just take, you know, the transformed list and throw it at some text method at the end. And, I mean, did anybody see that at all, or should I bump the text, or does anybody care?
Is this online?
Yeah, this is online. It's in my GitHub repo. Great Seth is the username. And then the other fun thing I've been doing is working on my personal site, which is just a MERB app. And I've been trying to focus on, like I said, not worrying so much about what's proper. If you go into the regex channel on Freenode, they have, like, in the topic all the time about not using regular expressions to write parsers. Like, you should write a real parser, you know, and crap like that. But I think that at a certain point, that kind of thinking restricts you from actually just getting stuff done and creating things and moving on to the next idea. So that's what I'm trying to focus on. And so, like, I have this really poor man's caching going on in my MERB init file. I just hit up the Git repo API for all my repositories and store it in a constant and then reference that for the rest of the life of the application. You know, it's totally unkosher. It's not the right way to do it, but it works great. Just use JSON and OpenURI, and that's it. My site, the other thing about it is the main data source is a Yahoo Pipes feed that just aggregates all the stuff I'm doing online and all the different services I use. Because one of the things I didn't want to do is write another blog engine or, you know, shit like that. So I use WordPress and Flickr and Twitter and all this other stuff and just bring it into my site through, like, a simple feed, you know, kind of presentation like that. So, like, oh, and also this feature is one of my favorite pieces of artwork possibly in my entire life. It's Christopher Reeve as Superman with a Tom Selleck mustache on his face, which looks totally awesome. Yeah, it's a MERB, and there's jQuery and some Haml templates. And, like, right now it's got some Flickr photos of my cat and some JStreet graffiti. I was over there earlier today. And then, you know, just Twitter updates and stuff like that. And
That's greatseth.com.
And, yeah, that's the bulk of it. And then there's some basic, you know, about stuff, contact page, links to all the feeds. And it does use the sort of Lightbox Mortal Dialogue stuff, which apparently is not going to load right now because of the network or something. But using jQuery, it's all hooked up to, you know, shortcut keys, and you can hit escape to close it. So I think it's a really nice experience. And then I personally use the Hidahint extension for Firefox, which I don't know if you guys know about this, but I don't understand how people live without it if they use Firefox. It allows you to set an arbitrary array of keys that are used when you press a modifier, which is not configurable, unfortunately. So you press space, and then it labels all the links on the page with unique labels based on that set. So it starts with single characters, and then it goes to double characters. And it's basically a way that you can navigate almost the entire web without using a mouse, which is pretty sweet.
And are you able to show the shoes, or is the network down? The shoes client? Yeah, like, see what it looks like?
Yeah, and so one of the things I wanted to do with the shoes client is, like I said, you know, just have one that didn't have that stupid link bug. Also one that was free. Like, Twitterific is great, but I don't want to pay for it. I don't like Twitter that much. And then just some other little interface things, because, like I said, I came from, like, more interactive studies and things like that, and then I kind of got away with it, or away from it. And kind of trying to get back towards that kind of stuff. I will. It's still, like, a little rough to where I feel like I don't want to, you know, give it out to people, but I should do it sooner or later because, you know, I might get to thinking like that forever. I've got 1% battery left, and one of the last times I tried to hit Twitter, it took, like, 10 seconds to return the timeline, and it looks like it's taking a while now.
That's a really good silver box, though.
Yeah, it's really hot. That's what it looks like before anything loads. It's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, Aglet is the name of it. It's on GitHub if you want to check it out and play with it. It mostly works, but there's some rough spots.
All right, thank you, Seth. All right, and that's the end of the show today. How'd you guys feel about it? Was it fun? Yeah, cool. All right. Yeah, better than expected. Yeah? Yeah. They're just awful, yeah. So we did like the five-minute thing. So for the next one, I'm thinking we're going to do more five-minute things, depending on how many people we get to come. So I'm going to say find fresh meat. So if you guys like have a friend and you drag them, yeah, drag a friend here and say you are going to show this thing. Like you saw, we had like Seth's thing was sort of working, and your thing was mostly just off your iPod, but still there. Your stuff was just something that you figured out, right? So it doesn't have to be anything that works really good, but just something that basically says I'm not a business dude, and then that's what we're shooting for, right? So and what we'll do is if we get enough people to show up, then we'll just do newbie shows again, right? And we can discuss about the format, whether you guys liked it or not, and stuff like that. And if we have just a few newbies, then maybe I'll do something. I'll do a presentation on, like, public speaking, or if someone else wants to do a longer presentation or something, then go ahead. Just let me know. We'll talk about it over on the mailing list and everything. And thanks for coming. It's great. And, yeah, let me get that sheet back there. So what I'm going to do is, yeah, I'm going to sign this. And then this will be online. Cool. So we got... Oh my gosh, Jonas. Hail Satan. That was awesome. You know, I was playing classical, right? So you should check out. Were you looking at IRC when you were doing your thing? That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's pretty good. What I might try to do, that actually might be an interesting idea. So we got the live streaming going. Maybe we can get video streaming, but I kind of like just the audio, right? Get an amp, get other stuff, but maybe have another projector over here that's just doing the IRC. So people can actually see the IRC while they're talking about it, right? And
can we reserve the right to determine if that's too distracting after we've tried it once?
Yeah, yeah.
Permanent?
Yeah.
The New York Video 2.0 meetup basically fell apart as a result of that.
Yeah, oh, really? Okay.
Idiots, to be fair. They're all marked.
Okay. Yeah, so what we can do. Or.
No, it's
No offense.
Or what we maybe we could write a small client that if people do something like question, it'll show up on the thing, and then you know there's a question. Yeah, something like that. Something like that. That'd be cool. And also suggestions on like tech you might want to do. You could actually have your newbie show a piece of tech you bring to make the show easier to do, right? So that's like totally up for it too, right? And also things like if you see online that you wanna talk about, if there's someone you want to skewer, I actually want to do like a this guy's a dickhead night. So yeah. No, maybe I'll get some friends from the EFF to show up or something, right? You know? Hey, we're going to make some guy look like a dickwad. And another one is impersonate your favorite business guy. That's something else I want to do. So the best impersonation wins. But I think that's probably a little further down once you get a few more people. But 10 is good. I actually kind of like 10 too, right? Okay, cool. Thanks, guys. End of the show. Yeah, question? Do you want to come use the mic real quick? So, okay. Huh. Wait, so you were an artist, and that's why you didn't... What was that word you used?
Not an engineer.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So basically, my professional life for the last maybe 10 years has been as a manager. But I always code with everyone else, and I'm an asshole about the code. So, like, I don't get into personal things or talk about other people, but if your code isn't tight, I fucking hate you. So it's funny because a lot of people hate me at first, but then they get used to it. They're like, they don't mind because I don't go after personal things. I don't do other stuff, and you know, I always protect my people and stuff. And what I found is that I hate other managers even more after doing this for a while because – I see all the little tricks and the stupid shit they do to control people, and the problem that I have is, like, everyone in here is a smart person, and it works better if you guys all kind of agree with stuff, but at some point, one person has to be in charge and responsible and say, this is the choice. So it's that balance between I'm in charge, but I also hired you because you're a smart motherfucker. You should be able to tell me what's up, and then, fine, I heard what's going on, but we're going to do what I want, right? So one of the things that you run into, if you run into bad managers, they'll say shit, they'll try to stereotype you, and they'll say things that will make you want to be in that stereotype, right? So in your case, he said, you're an artist, not an engineer, right? But if you look around, like, you know, everyone's got these iPhones, these Macs, and all these other stuff. Art and engineering is starting to blur a whole lot. And I think, really, it's only the artists and the engineers that are preventing it from blurring even more, right? Because they're trying to go out and make things that don't really match. They're not really engineering, not really art in a single category. They're kind of merged and mixed together. And that's the trend you're seeing, right? Everything is getting design and functionality to it, and it's making people feel good about products. You know, I mean, invoking a feeling is an artistic thing. So whenever some manager comes and says things like, you're not a team player, that means you're not doing what I'm fucking saying. If they start talking about, oh, you're not an engineer, you're an artist, it's, I want you to be more like an engineer because those guys do whatever I say. If they say you're not enough of an artist, it means you're not really following my brain dead stupid schemes that make no sense all the time because I do coke. There's a certain stop words. So. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is the thing, is this why I think a lot of programmers nowadays and people doing hardware and stuff are trying to, they want to get out and do music and dance and other things and expand their horizons because for, you know, a really long time they've done just coding, and that rots your brain after a while, right? So getting out and doing other stuff, even if there's coding in it, but doing other stuff with your coding, not just doing it for the coding. So yeah, there's totally jobs for what you want to do. But when it comes down to it, I mean, to be honest, being like 90% of programming is very lame, very boring, non-artistic stuff, right? There's only so many database-backed web apps you can do before you just go insane. So my tactic is I do useless crap I don't really care about for someone else at work, and then at home I do cool shit. And I blog about it and get it out there, and that's my art, right? So that's kind of what you did. But on the manager side, basically take everything they say with a grain of salt, because they're saying it mostly within their own self-interest. Even if you really like this guy, it's his own self-interest that if you do better, he does better. Or if you do what he says, he gets more promotion and stuff. It's not bad, but you always want to take that into account, right? So, and more management tips from Zed later on. All right, so that's the end of the show and the end of my rant. And, yeah, we're going to go do something else. You guys want to do something else? After this? All right, cool. Yeah, I got to drive.